Yeah, got to talk some rugby league with the number one rugby league
glad
writer.
Glad you inserted that.
From the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Hello, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. I actually know Don Walker, who wrote K-San, and we often exchange a lot of messages, and he absolutely loves his rugby league. Mad Queensland fan, mad Broncos fan, but really loves his footy, knows everything about the game. He's quite a fascinating bloke.
Well, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. When you say we often exchange text messages, are you pestering him, Dino?
Well, my messages come through at about 1 a.m. But you can decide this.
Well, Dino, on that, on our theme, which has been hijacked a bit by this the secondary theme, which has suddenly become karaoke go-to songs. What's Dean Ritchie's?
Oh, I love K-San, but Ray, if you're going to put me on the spot, live it on a prayer.
Oh, fair enough. Bit of Bon Jovi. Hard to beat.
We had that from a West Tigers fan saying, that's my song, bon Living Jovi, on a Prayer. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, speaking of West Tigers, Josh Reynolds talked during the week. He's allowed to negotiate with other clubs. I did read where Josh was a little shocked by that. I don't think anyone else was.
No, in fact, Jimmy, it's probably been a fair while in coming, this decision. I think he's only played 8 games in 2 years.
Yeah.
Lovely bloke. I think everyone in rugby league universally likes Josh Reynolds.
Yes.
But he's on some big coin. He's on about 800 a year. So a few clubs are just having internal discussions about him. But it will come down to fairly simple mathematics. How much would the Tigers be prepared to play? Look, if a club could pick up Josh Reynolds for, say, $250, well, I think there'd be a few nibbles out there. But if clubs are offered to him and they've got to shell out around $500-$600, I think there might be some reluctance there. Certainly the romantic story is Josh returning to the Bulldogs, but I've spoken to a few people fairly close to Canterbury, and they say at this point in time, there's no interest there. They've sort of moved forward from Josh, albeit he is a club legend out there and the fans love him. I don't think you'll find he'll be at Belmore next year. And to be fair, Jimmy, he's been given permission to negotiate, but knowing Reynolds as I do, I think you'll find he could well dig in and really fight for that spot to win it back.
How many years has he got to go on that? Is it two more years?
Yeah.
After this year?
Yeah, I think there's two more to go. So, as I said, it's around 8. It might even go up a little bit further next year. So it's really big coin. And look, quite clearly, in this day and age with the salary, you just can't have a bloke on that kind of coin running around in Canterbury Cup. So it's going to come to a head at some point. But the way Benji's going, as I said on this show last week, guys, I think you'll find that, you know, Robbie may be edging toward retiring, but Benji, I think you'll find, is looking at one more year. So that would keep potentially Reynolds down there for another season.
To give you an understanding of what disarray the West Tigers salary cap is in, they've got two players running around in Canterbury Cup New South Wales on that type of money. Russell Packer is the other one.
I did notice last night, Jimmy, I thought they had a crack against Canberra, but they're just a bit off the pace. And you can just sense Michael Maguire's frustration. He's come from South and previously over there at Wigan, where, of course, he had wonderful rosters. And don't get me wrong, this is not having a crack at the Tigers. But just in those clutch moments, he just doesn't seem to have the star power to go to win these games. And week by week, you can just see Madge getting increasingly frustrated. But look, we all know what Madge is like. He's tough. He's hard. He's a winner. He will get the best out of West Tigers. But I think, you know, it may not be this year. And Tigers fans are going to have to be a little bit patient yet again.
Dino, just a question aside. Any update or what are you hearing re Jake Friend's latest bicep injury?
Yeah, right. I checked in with the Roosters this morning. They just didn't have a definitive answer for me. Some are saying 4, some are saying 8. He's going to go and get it medically checked again tomorrow, according to the Roosters. It's obviously a setback. He's only been back a week, and now this injury comes along from last night. Look, fortunately, the Roosters have got Victor Radley there, ready and waiting, albeit, you know, I think we all agree that he's not a long-term dummy half. But certainly they've got the cover to do it. But in terms of the Roosters' spine, they just can't seem to get that damn spine on the field at the one time. Tedesco, Keary, Cronk and Friend. I was told during the week that I think it's only been once or twice this year that they've managed to get all 4 on the field. And when they finally do get Friend back, he's out again, potentially for the rest of the regular playing season.
Yeah, he's a loss, no doubt. Jai Arrow is a man in demand. I reckon he's priority number one for the Gold Coast Titans. He might be priority number one for the Bulldogs. I think the West Tigers are having a chat. And as per your story during the course of the week, Parramatta Eels are throwing their hat into the ring as well.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think you can take that number up to 8 clubs now interested in Jai Arrow. One more I can tell you is Cronulla. Right. And another one I can tell you are the New Zealand Warriors. There was some speculation about St George Illawarra, but I spoke to Ian Mill, their recruitment manager, during the week, and he said they aren't interested in Arrow. So you can scratch the Dragons there, but certainly the list of clubs is growing. Look, he's from the Gold Coast. He's got family up there. His preferred stance would be to stay. But when the list gets bigger, Jimmy, as you know, we're talking 700-800 here, but when more and more clubs enter, more and more clubs tend to edge each other out. So if he can pull a 4-year deal worth $800,000-$900,000, he's looking at about $3.5 million. They think extremely highly of him. The Gold Coast, they think he's a future Titans captain, and certainly I know in the corridors of power up there in Queensland, they also think he's a potential Queensland skipper.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Gold Coast, you know, they take on the Storm today after what's been, well, a tumultuous week up there.
Yeah, I'll just run through those changes while you're on that game, Ray, if you don't mind. It's Storm at Cbus, 2 o'clock. Of course, the Garth Brennan era is over. No late changes. Shannon Boyd had an arm injury. He was ruled out during the week. Jared Wallace moves from lock to prop. Jai Whitbread into the lock position. Now, Melbourne Storm, Craig Bellamy's decided to rest his Origin stars at bar Dale Finucane. Will Chambers out. Marion Sevi in. Josh Addo-Carr out. Sandor Earl in. Cameron Munster out, Joe Stimpson in, and Felice Corfusi out, and Tui Kamakamika goes in. And there's also that big game down at Brookvale, Manly Para, 4 o'clock, Tommy Turbo back for the Seagulls, Brendan Elliott to the reserves, and a blow for Parramatta, Blake Ferguson, minor knee surgery, just a bit of a scrape out. He won't be playing, and that allows a young kid who's got a bit of a rap on him, Ethan Perry. He will be the replacement there. I had a bit of a story on the back page during the week about Manly's fans gradually, year after year, decreasing. They're only averaging 9,800 at Brookvale, the lowest of any ground in the NRL. They certainly went feral on social media, Manly fans. So let's just hope, rather than moaning about Brookvale and every excuse, that they get there this afternoon and really pack out Brookie like the old days when Manly and Parramatta were the great rivals from the 1980s.
Well, it's set up for it, isn't it? Two competitive sides. Tommy Turbo's back. Beautiful afternoon. Yeah, you would hoping they're getting 15,000 plus to that one. We heard a bit of a scoop from Zorba earlier. Cade Cust looks like he went off in that game against South Sydney last week with a head injury assessment. They say he's going to be rested. Brad Parker to come into the side, and Dylan Walker is going to be at 5'8". What's the contract situation with Dylan Walker? It's interesting because DCE's on 1.2. Tommy and Jake have to get paid as well, or want to get paid, and that's understandable. So Dylan Walker's might be left out in the cold a little there, Dino.
Yeah, we spoke to Dylan about that during the week at a media conference down there at Narrabeen. He's off contract. And look, as far as Dylan was telling us, Jimmy, there's been no contact at all between the club and Manly. Quite clearly, their preference at the moment is to nail down the Turbo brothers before they go on the open market as of November 30. You just get the feeling that Dez might be looking at doing a Craig Bellamy, nailing down the Turbo brothers and Cherry, the three superstars, and then just building a team in and around then. So I just don't know how much money Dylan would be thinking he would be earning this year. I think he's on about 600. I think he might struggle to get that kind of money again, given his form's been okay, but not brilliant.
Any other news, Dino?
Yeah, just an update on the Gold Coast coaching position, Ray. Justin Holbrook is obviously emerging as a key candidate in this chase to replace Garth Brennan. Now, St Helens have actually tabled a 2-year offer for Brennan, for Holbrook, rather, Ray. And look, he is balking. He wants to come home. He loves St Helens, but he did say if there's an NRL spot up for grabs. They have spoken to Holbrook and told him to put forward an application. So that would indicate to me that they are very keen. If there was no interest there, they wouldn't bother with that. Craig Fitzgibbon, of course, and Anthony Griffin, two others. But the key element here, guys, is Kevin Walters. He said he doesn't want the job, but the Titans don't seem to be accepting that. I think you'll find if he is offered the job, Kev would take it. At the moment, as much as Fitzgibbon and Griffin have some great credentials, I think it's going to come down to Holbrook and Kevin Walters.
That's a really good... It's really interesting, the strategy that Kevin Walters has adopted to this. He's basically said, don't ask me to interview for the job, offer me the job, and then I'll make my decision. Which I actually, given the stress that he's been caused through interview situations with the Broncos and with the Gold Coast previously, and knowing, look, this is who I am. I'm the State of Origin coach. I've done it for the last 4 years. You know what you're going to get.
Got the runs on the board.
You either take it or you leave it. I actually don't mind the strategy.
Jimmy, I think he's a little bit weary of being linked to every job and missing out, even though he hasn't really applied. He's just been linked. But in the end, when you keep missing jobs, albeit you haven't applied, there's a bit of stigma that goes to that. I think Kev's basically said, that's enough. Look, he's a State of Origin coach, as you said, Jimmy. You know, he's an elite coach now at that level. So if they want him, they've got to approach Kev. And I think if they do table an offer, I still think, despite his comments last week where he said he just wanted to focus on Queensland, I reckon he'd take the job if the money was right, time was right, and the circumstances were right.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. Good on you, Dino. We'll speak again next week, mate. I might see you at Brookie today.
Yeah, it'll be a good afternoon down there, Jimmy. Have a great day, and have a great day to you too, Ray.
Good on you, Dino.
There he is, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph.